Good morning, folks. Happy Father's Day. Appreciate everybody coming out and being with us this morning. And honestly, I feel right at home up here. One of my favorite places is in the woods. So I'm in good shape this morning. I'm usually not out there at night. That's probably more Jesse's thing. I like being out there during the daytime. But I like it, and everybody that put in into this, they did a good job. Beautiful. So we're still in 1 John chapter 5. Kevin, I don't know if you're going to have room or not, buddy. You may have to scoot some stuff back. Just preach from down there. All right, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read the first 5 verses. 5 and 5, that's good, isn't it? Yep. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth also him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So, you know, we're coming down to the close of this book, and just so much practical Christian living things here in this book, and it's been a real blessing. And last week we looked there at verse 1, and just the simplicity of the message here, that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It don't take rocket science to get born again. It just takes trust in the Lord. Yes. And he makes up all the difference. You can't add to it. I mean, there's nothing you can do. And I'm thankful that the message is simple. And then we saw how we associate Christ and the Father. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth also him also that is begotten of him. There's no separation of those.
Right.
I mean, they're closely related. But when we look at them, we just need to understand that they work together. They're one and the same. I don't know how to separate them. I can't. I don't really understand all that. But I do believe it. And so in verse 2, where we're going to pick up today, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." And so here's the question is, so how do we substantiate that we love people? Is it by the acts that we do? Is it by the feelings that we have toward them? John says no. When he writes through the Holy Ghost, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God." Jared, he doesn't say because of the fruits that you bear, even though that's a good tale of it. But he says, how do you know that you love the children of God? It's when we love God and keep his commandments.
Right.
You see, all of your love for everybody else completely hinges on your love for the Lord.
Yes.
So that's how you know. If you remember the latter part of chapter 4, he finished it, and he said, "In this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." They're so closely knit together. But you can only love the brother when you love the Father. You have to love God. You have to love God to be able to love others. So that's, you can't just look at how you feel toward people. You can't look at your actions toward people to know if you love them. You know, what you have to look at is deeper. You have to look inside yourself and look at your love for the Father. And that's where you find if you really love people. Because if you remember, we talked a little bit a while back about our motives, right? You see, there's people that love so that they're recognized for what they do. You understand what I'm saying? Some people act one way around certain people. Why is that? Because they want to be recognized for the way they act in those times. And then when they're somewhere else, they're a different person. You see what I'm saying? That's why you can't just look at somebody's feelings in a moment or by their actions in a moment. It has to go deeper. It has to go down so deep that you and I can't see. It has to go somewhere that's between just them and the Father and the love that they have toward Him. That's what separates what real love is versus what's not. You have no love of yourself. I mean, we have natural affections, right? But real love, we only understand through the love of God. So the question is not, don't even have to ask the question, do you love your brother, really? How we wrap this up is do you love God? That's the question. And then that's a question that every one of us has to answer for ourselves. Doug, as much as I believe you love the Lord, I can't answer for you. I hear you testify. I see how you run your shop. Those are good fruits, and that's what I can see, right? But that's all. That's as far as it goes for me with sure. Doug. Doug has to determine, does Doug love the Lord or not? And you have to determine if you love the Lord. Right. See, Doug, you could be being good to all them people at your shop just so people think that you love the Lord.
Yep.
You follow what I'm saying? He could come to church just so everybody here sees him at church. You know people live their whole lives that way?
Oh, yes.
All the time. Their whole life is wrapped up in their image. I mean, it's about what everybody thinks about them. And don't get me wrong, it is important what people think about a Christian. Your testimony does matter.
Yes, it does.
But the motive behind what you do should not be on whether so-and-so sees it or not. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Our motive has to be, if do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
That's what we have to be rooted in what we do. You see, we've already established that we can't love others without first loving God. And the only surefire way to really answer this question of do you love your brother is to find out, do you love the Lord? And then you say, well, how do I even know if I really love the Lord or not? Right? I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper. Because, I mean, do you ever ask yourself, do I really love the Lord? I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I have to think, Lord, am I acting like I really love you? Is what I'm doing demonstrating that I love you?
Sure.
These are hard questions. Well, how do you answer that? Well, he tells us, verse 2, the latter part, he says, when we love God and what? And keep His commandments. Keeping His commandments. We've talked about this several times now. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments.
Right.
Remember, back over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, about verse 22, 23 there. If you remember, Israel was in a battle, and Samuel, the prophet, was nowhere to be found. He was supposed to be there. Saul needed him there to offer sacrifices and to get ready for the battle.
Yeah.
You remember that story? And what happened? Saul started getting nervous. Mm-hmm. And so what did he do? He stepped out of the Word of God, and he took a place and a position that he didn't have, that was not his. It was outside of the commands of the Lord.
That's right.
And so he took it upon himself to offer those sacrifices. Well then it's immediately when you read the scriptures, as soon as all that goes down, who shows up?
Samuel
shows up, right?
Yes. Please.
Samuel starts asking questions, right? And say, what's going on here? But then you come down to verse 22 and 23, and here's Samuel's response to him. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt
yes.
offerings and sacrifices?
Right, brother.
As in obeying the voice of the Lord. In other words, are sacrifices good? Is worship good?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it as important as obeying God? What trumps? The Word of God trumps. The Word of God trumps every time. He says, as in obeying the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So how do we show that we love God? We don't change His Word. We do what He says.
Yes.
We don't do what we feel. We don't do what we want. Folks, we can't go out there and live like the world all week and then come in here and worship and expect all heaven to fall.
Right.
God don't care nothing about your worship in here if your life out there don't depict anything for Him. Am I okay right there?
That's right.
We all fight that battle, right? I mean, it's a natural battle. We all fight. But don't expect to come in here and all heaven fall down on us. We're out there not esteeming His Word.
Yes.
So how do you figure out if you really love the Lord? The best way I know is to ask you this question. What do you do with this right here?
Serious.
That is the question of the hour. What do you do with this? If it never gets picked up, if it's never read, if it's never taught to your family, if you don't esteem it, if it means nothing, if when you're living your life, if the words of this book don't meditate in your mind, when you're making decisions.
Yeah, brother.
It's not just a book.
Right.
That's the thing. We've got to understand that this is the Word of God.
Yes.
And what we do with it is of the utmost importance. And so we've got to choose whether or not we're going to love the Lord. Well, how do we do that? We choose whether or not we're going to obey His Word or not.
Yes.
That's how you ask yourself the question. Does my life operate within the bounds of this book to the best of my ability? And we could all say, no.
Right.
I mean, I think maybe not. Maybe everybody in here is just right in line this morning. But I can think of things this week where I stepped out of the bounds of this book.
Yep.
I reacted wrong in a situation. I said something wrong, and I knew better. And Brother Stephen, it's just a constant battle, just to keep myself in that lane. But the point is, at the end of the day, I want my life to be in the bounds of this book.
Amen.
And I hope everybody here does. That'll be the determining factor of whether you love the Lord or not. I promise you, if you don't care anything about this, you don't care anything about the Lord.
Right.
You can say, hey, we talk to people all the time. We go out visiting. And they, oh yeah, I love the Lord. I don't go to church. I don't know His Word. I don't read it like I ought to. But I love the Lord. And Nathaniel, I mean, that's really, without being rude to people, you just think all these things and think, oh my. You have no idea. They're so deceived. But here's the heart we ought to have. Look over at Psalm 119 with me. We're going to read a few verses here. They're short. Probably do us all good to read the chapter more often, wouldn't it? Psalm 119. We're just going to read. If you're not familiar with this chapter, you ought to be. When somebody says Psalm 119, your mind ought to automatically go to a topic. Over and over. Let's see if you can pick up on what he's saying here. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. You follow along. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You see the theme of that book? How many times does it say thy testimonies, thy precepts, thy commandments? That's somebody that esteemed the word of God. That ought to be our heart toward the word of God. Now, oftentimes we don't think about the word of God. We're out living our lives and we get busy and our minds get cluttered. But the reality is, with every decision we make, everything we say, everything we do, what we want to drive us and control how we handle ourselves is to be this book right here. And you know how that comes? It comes through the operation of the Holy Ghost on the inside. But you need to get this book in you.
Right.
You need to get in the book so that the book gets in you. That's why he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. He did that work. He hid it in his heart. Kim, as much as I love you, I can't put this book into you in 30, 45 minutes a week. It ain't going to do it. You're not going to get it. How do we take all this book and get it in there? You have to actively put it in. I mean, I don't know about you, but my mom don't pick up spoon and feed me no more. Man, we had the awfulest spread of food yesterday you've ever seen. But there wasn't a person that picked up a fork or spoon and tried to feed me. You know what I did? It was there. And I helped pitch in to make some of it. But I got the knife and I got the fork and I got the spoon and fed myself. It was an active event. Now, there are people that kids need fed. My kids, when they were little, guess what? Pick up a spoon and it'd be an airplane or whatever we could do to get it in their mouth. And when you take somebody that's a young Christian, there's things that we have to feed them. Right? But there comes a time that everybody, I mean, for the most part, most people in here have been saved for a little while. I realize there might be some new converts, maybe some lost people in here. But if you've been saved over 5 years, you ought to be able to feed yourself something. Really less than that, probably, but folks, it's active. It takes time. And if you got a question of, do you love the Lord, you're not going to love him outside of getting familiar with this right here.
Right.
This is where we learn what he's done for us.
Yep.
This is where we learn what he's going to do for us. This is where we learn all that he is. It's where I find out what I am.
Right.
Folks, it takes the word of God. If you want to know if you love people, you got to know if you love the Lord. To find out if you love the Lord, you got to look at, do you love his word? That's the progression that I understand here. And you just have to ask yourself that. I can't answer that for you. But I hope everybody here loves it. I hope everybody picks it up every day and reads it, at least some, or reads with your family or does something to try to get it inside of you. All right, back to verse number 3. We'll move on. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so what I'm understanding here is that the motivation behind our keeping the commandments and them not being grievous is that we have to love the Lord. See, what happens is if you don't love the Lord, if you don't love this book and you don't love the Lord, then are you going to love what's in it? The commands that's in it? The do not that's in it? Thou shalt not? No, you can't. If you don't understand the author, if you don't love the author,
right,
you're not going to love what he commands you.
That's exactly right.
Just like a child that has no respect for a parent. They're not going to respect the commands that they give them. And they're going to live in rebellion. Why is that? It might be that the kid's not seeing where the parent's coming from, right? Well, how do you get to know where this parent's coming from? You got to understand him. How do you understand it? Through the Word of God. See, there are things that I used to not understand about God and why he would say, don't do this, or why he said, do this. But over time, as I looked into the Word and I got an understanding of who he is and his character and the purpose behind what he said, man, I had a greater respect for it. It's the same in our day-to-day life, right? There are things that you tell your kids when they're young that they ought not do, and those commands are grievous. They struggle with them, right? Don't touch that. Don't stick your finger in that socket, right? I know that's simple, but it's reality. That's grievous to them. They're like, well, I mean, it's on the wall. It's at my head level. Why can't I touch it? They don't understand. But as they get a little older, after they touch it once or twice, they understand why you said that, right? Folks, if anybody knows what's right for us, our Creator knows what's right for us. And when we gather, understand His character, and I've actually got this at the end for today, but I'm going to say it right now. Is Nathaniel, do you want the best for your girls? Everything that you've done in your life for them, it's been because you wanted their best, right? You wanted them to have the best. You wanted them to be their best. As much as you love them girls, and I believe with all my heart you do, God loves them more. And He wants better for them than Nathaniel could ever dream of. So would you not think that the things that God has put in place for them in their lives, the ways that He says for them to pick their spouses, the way He told them to raise those children, all those things, do you not think He chose to do that for their good, for His glory,
right,
for their benefit, and the benefit of the kingdom, and for an eternal reward? It's all good. And if we have an understanding of that, guess what happens to His commandments? They're not grievous.
Right.
Because we have an understanding of who He is and His love for us. That's what all this is about. It's about understanding that His commands are not just to be mean to you and I. He has no interest in that. That's not His desire. His desire is that you have the best. But your best and His best are not giving you freedom to just go do whatever you want to do. Because that is not the best. You know that for your kids, right? You didn't just turn your kids out and just let them run wild, or I hope you didn't. Why? Because you knew that wasn't best for them. They'd end up hurt, end up dead. You reckon God's a better parent than any of us? It's Father's Day today.
No question.
So He said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. So how do you love Him? You have to understand His love for you. Have to understand who He is. After all, right? We love Him because He first loved us. And so our motivation has to be our love for Him. It can't be out of obligation. I say this, I've said this, I don't know how many times as standing up here over the last few years, but it ought to be every Christian's desire, Brother Chris, to do right. But it ought not be out of obligation. But our driving force, our motivation behind that should be that we love the Lord and He's told us what to do. And we know that that's what's best in spite of how we feel. See, that's what our feelings get us in bad trouble a lot of times. Right? And we say it gets said often around here. Proverbs teaches us, right? There is a way that seemeth right. Right? But what's in the end of that? Right. I think that's what, Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, he says
that's
it, right?
That's right.
So, our natural man wants what we want. And that's why when we're in the flesh, Adam, it is so grievous for us to try to do what's right. Our flesh does not want what's right. Our flesh wants what's wrong. If you've not figured that out, I'm telling you from right here, right now, your flesh does not want what's right. 99.9% of the time. I mean, food is okay sometimes when you need to eat and your flesh desires that, so I'll say that. But for the most part, your flesh desires wrong things and too much of the good things. We all face that same thing. And so just understand, we have to grasp who He is, His character. The reason He says what He says is because He loves us so much, and that He wants the very best for you and I. He wants, when we get through this life, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course, and to know that there's a crown, that there's a prize waiting on the other side. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He wants to take care of us. I mean, He said, consider the lilies, right? He's got everything under control. He wants the best for you. If I can get anything across this morning, understand that for every one of you, He wants the very best. But I think I said this a week or two ago. The best for you may not be to have the most money. That may not be good for you. There may be certain jobs that are not best for you. Not everybody's cut out for everything. We're all different. And I'm thankful that there's only one of me. And I would say, if you know yourself, you're thankful that there's only one of you. We're all different, and God made us different for a purpose. We've got all different parts. We're all different pieces. Seems like the book of Ephesians teaches us something about that. How that we're a building, and we all got parts, and we've all got pieces. 1 Corinthians teaches us about it. Folks, we've all got something to give, but we're all different. And Kevin, what God's given you is not for me.
Right.
Got a purpose for Him. He's got a purpose for me. Kim, He's got a purpose for you. Clark, got a purpose for you. And it's going to be different than it is for me. And we just have to understand that His way is best. Seems like we heard some preaching about God's ways being right not too long ago. I'll amen that. But it should be our desire to do what's right, understand what He says is for us, to help us, and that He desires His best for all of us. And you say, well, I just don't understand that. I don't trust that. Well, we'll go back to this scripture over here. You just listen. Well, I mean, you can turn if you want to. We're going to go back to Proverbs 3. We read this not too long ago here. But Proverbs 3, we'll read verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, that's the hard part, right? But in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? He'll direct thy paths. Let Him put you where you're supposed to go. Our job is to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think you're smart. But He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. We just need to run from evil. Run from evil, acknowledge the Lord. Let Him handle the rest, right? It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Right.
You understand what He's saying? If you just do your part, God will take care of everything else, and it'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. He's going to bring you health. And now I understand that might not always be physical health, but He's talking about He will take care of you. He will do what's best. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Folks, if you'll just honor the Lord with what you have, He'll take care of you. I'm going to read 11 and 12 too. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. We need that sometimes, don't we? For whom the Lord what? Loveth. He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Folks, we need correcting sometimes.
Oh, yes.
His ways are right, our ways are not. And when the sooner we accept that as children, the better off we'll be. We just submit to what He says, knowing that it's best. That ought to be the heart of every one of us, is that we just know that His way is best. And our job is just to love Him, to trust His Word, trust His ways, and then just go where He takes us. That ought to be the desire of every heart in here, is that we just go where He wants us to go. Whether that be Crossville, whether that be Jamestown. We're praying Steve gets to Jamestown. But you know what? If God wants Steve in Crossville, where does Steve need to be? He needs to be in Crossville. That's the way this life should shake out for every one of us. There was oftentimes Paul would say, hey, you be praying. I got a desire to come to you. Right? Did he make it to everywhere he wanted to go? Now, we talked about that the other day, didn't we? There were times that Paul felt like he was getting to go somewhere. He was going to get to go where he wanted to go. But the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not where I need you. In fact, we say it all the time, but the Bible said Paul had a desire to depart, be with Christ, which was far better. That was his desire. He said, I'm tired of this place. I'm ready to go home. But he wrote, he said, but it's needful. It's needful that I stay right here so I can minister to you. So his ways are better than ours. And we don't understand them. Where are we at on time? Can somebody tell me? 10:40? I'm going to quit early today. I ain't going to get into the next verse. But if we can ever just grasp as children of God that his ways are so much better. We can just rest in his ways. But you know how you do that? You first got to get hold of his word so that you can rest in it. When you don't know it, it's hard to rest in it. It's hard to believe his promises when you don't know what they are. Hard to have faith in something that you don't know what you're believing in. That's why the Bible says that faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You gotta get it from this. You say, well, I struggle with my faith. Well, you probably struggle with the Word of God. I mean, that's reality. The more you get into the Word, the better your faith will be. I believe that. The Bible says that. So anyway, we all need help of the Lord. We all need to love the Lord more. We all need more of this book. And if we get all those, there's no telling what God might do here. But we've got to be willing to do part of it. Got to be willing. So if you're not willing to read his word, you don't esteem it, then you're probably not going to have much love for the Lord.
Right.
You're not going to have much faith.
Right.
You're not going to have much victory, which we'll get into next time, Lord willing. Can't do it. Can't do it without the Lord. Can't do it without faith. Can't have faith without the word. So anyway, I appreciate everybody's good attention. Give it just a couple minutes because they're probably still in class. I'm getting out, letting y'all out before everybody else for once. So probably hang out for a minute. Don't run down there and mess their classes up.